Did you know the team to score last has won the Super Bowl each of the last 13 years? If you're looking to enhance your big game betting experience, visit wt.buzz/sb57props for Wager Talk's annual party prop sheet, Ralph Michaels' historical prop betting result and betting tips from your favorite handicapper. And if you're looking to add some wagering entertainment for your gathering, download and print out Super Bowl party prop sheet, which features a number of easy to answer, easy to follow questions to keep everyone engaged from the coin toss to the final whistle. Follow Wager Talk on Twitter during the game as we tweet out the results as they happen. Visit wt.buzz/sb57props for all the details.
Welcome into the NFL Opening Line Report. Super Bowl week is here. I am Drew Martin, joined by Teddy Covers. We're getting you ready, side total. And today's show mainly focused on the Super Bowl props. So without further ado, Teddy Covers at Teddy_Covers, Wager Talk. SportsMemo.com. Teddy, happy Monday morning to you, buddy.
Hey, Drew. Boy, this is a fun show. This is one of the funnest shows of the year. And yeah, we're going to talk side and total at the top, but just a little bit. But the majority of today's focus, we're going to talk about what props the pros are betting and why. So where the money's coming, where the money's likely to continue to come this week. And we'll talk about some of the props that have been hit already and some of the ones that are likely to get hit throughout the course of this coming week. So loaded. Opening line report. You only get one prop Super Bowl show all year. This is it, Drew. Let's get into it.
Let's get after it, guys. And we will be back next Monday with the kind of review of what happened in the Super Bowl and also talking some futures for next year's, of course, NFL regular season. So we got Kansas City, Philadelphia here, Teddy. I guess just side and total real quick, 50.5 at most sports books now being the total, and Philadelphia -1.5. There is a couple minus twos out there, but Eagles -1.5, the consensus line. We thinking anything shaken up here before kickoff, or is this about where we're going to land, you think?
So there's regional bias, okay? This is something you need to be aware of when it comes to this point spread right now. You can still find plus threes with juice on Kansas City back east.
Whoa.
All right. Really? They exist. Yeah, they existed as of last night. There were still plus threes out there. There's certainly more Philadelphia money on the East Coast than there is here in Las Vegas. So we're seeing some regional differences in this Super Bowl line. Now, where's it going to go? All right, the early money poured in on Philly. Then the injury report for Casey didn't look quite so bad. We've seen some buyback on Kansas City. I would not be surprised at all if we see at least in some books, if the money moves back towards the Chiefs. I would not be surprised this game closes in the pick'em range. You know, Philly -1/pick, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see the late money coming for Kansas City. From a total standpoint, open anywhere between 49.5 and 51. The first bets went under. Now we're seeing money come in on the over, not heavy money. And that's really pretty well balanced action. 50.5, the prevailing number. I'll call the closing line Philly -150.5. I've been wrong before, but that's my guesstimate as we talk on Monday. I do think we'll see a little bit more KC money. I do think we'll see a little bit more over money. But let's not forget, 90% of the volume comes in the 72 hours before kickoff from Thursday night through Sunday night. So everything we're seeing now, this is all sharp money, and it's all money that is trying to get ahead of the number. These aren't necessarily opinions. There's lots of bets that the wise guys are making just because they're going to come back on the other side, closer to post, closer to kickoff, and working middles. That is at least a piece of the equation. So what I'm going to try to do today is talk about which of the moves are arbitrage that we've seen and which are legitimate opinions that we've seen. And boy, we'll run through a whole bunch of props over the course of the next half hour or so.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of props, but I'm getting trying to find a Philadelphia local there, Teddy, and find some of those plus threes. That's kind of wild, man. As one last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the point is that there's legit Philly support at the East Coast books, you know, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all of which are three heavy volume states. And the East Coast money's coming for Philly, much more than the money over the course of around the entire country, which is more split. East Coast money's biased towards Philly right now.
Sure. It's an interesting concept. You know, as legalization's happened here and these sports books are starting to open up, it's something I actually would have guessed. You know, we're seeing that Northeast. What did they see? They saw the Eagles run through the Giants and then dominate the 49. You know, I'm talking about in the playoffs, guys. They've looked good here. Sure enough, in the Northeast, putting their money on the team that they know there in the NFC East. It makes sense, is what I'm saying, Teddy. It's not that surprising to me anyway, kind of watching this market right now. Good stuff, man. We got the props. What a bunch of them here, Teddy. I don't even know where to start. I'm seeing a first quarter, 9.5, 10.
So, listen.
Yeah, where do we want to go?
The stuff that I sent you, we'll come to that in a minute. I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk first. So let's go.
Let's run it.
Because for props, I asked my friends. All right. One of the advantages of living in Las Vegas for 25 years, you get to know a whole lot of sharp people. You know, Steve Fezzik helped me with this. He wasn't the only one. I had dinner with Alf Mosqueda last night. There's lots of guys who make money betting on sports. Oh, I've been able to kind of correlate some info from some of the sharper guys that I know. And let me start with this one. All right. Team to score last wins the game. That was minus 200 at the open. 13 straight years, the yes has cashed. And it's only minus 200 at the open. So team to score last wins the game. That's one from Ralph Michaels' sheet that stands out. We have seen money come in on team to score last wins the game. That's one that the sharp money has liked. Total number of touchbacks. There are many years we like the over, especially the opening kick to be a touchback. You know, opening kick to be a touchback is one that I've bet many times in recent years. Not this year. We've seen the money come on opening kickoff, no touchback, plus 160 down to plus 140, 145. And we've seen the total number of touchbacks. There were 8.5, they're gone. 7.5 is the prevailing number now. And even that, I think, makes sense. Why? Well, teams are not trying to kick the opening kick and any kick out of the end zone now. They're trying to kick and pin teams deep. So you're seeing a lot of the kicks from both of these teams land inside the 5-yard line, between the 5 and the goal line. When the kickers are trying, not for touchbacks, and trying to kick it deep and pin the other team deep as opposed to the touchback, in a game that may well be a low possession game, Philly wants to run the football and control the clock. Kansas City wants to, if you look at KC, they have a lot of 8 or 9 possession games this year. Long, slow, methodical drives. Under touchbacks has been hit. Opening kickoff, no touchback has been hit. Those are two that make a whole lot of sense to me. Let's talk about some of the player props that are being targeted. Miles Sanders is the RB that the wise guys are targeting for Philadelphia. We've seen him over carries. We've seen him over 58.5 yards. We've seen yes, anytime touchdown. Sanders is the guy that people in particular, the sharp money in particular, is looking to bet on in the Super Bowl. And when we talk about some of these correlations, hidden correlations are a big piece of the puzzle here. We like Miles Sanders as the RB to target. We like over carries, again, over yards. Yes, anytime touchdown. There's also money and support for Philly rushing yards over. The concept Philly's going to be able to control the clock on the ground. They want to keep Kansas City's offense on the field. It's an elite running game. The Chiefs run defense, not elite. So you say, all right, we want our Miles Sanders over carries or over yards or yes, anytime touchdown, which correlates with Eagles rushing yards over 139.5. Which correlates with Eagles to have more first downs, -0.5, et cetera, et cetera. Look for those hidden correlations. The one guy gets targeted and it affects 4 or 5 other props. So that's something to be aware of. And you look for these correlations. Sanders correlates with Eagles rushing yards, which correlates with Eagles first downs. It doesn't correlate with total number of Eagles to have a rush attempt. You know, that's 4 with the over -160. But this one feels like a free roll. I talked to a couple of guys who were pounding the total number of Eagles with a rush attempt over 4. Why? We know the 4 are going to get a carry. Gainwell, Sanders, Scott, Hurts. Those 4 guys are going to have carries for Philadelphia. It's really hard to envision a scenario in which only 3 of those guys get a carry. But there's not likely to be 5 either. You know, Gardner Minshew had 2 kneel downs here in the playoffs. Because Watkins gets an end around once in a while. It's likely to land on 4. There's a chance it could land on 5. The 4 over -160 is getting hit. The better thing is a free roll. Similar story with Kansas City total number of players rushing attempt, 4.5. And that's over to high heaven. That's been bet like crazy. They expect KC to have diversity with who's going to carry the football, and especially Mahomes has to run in the pocket once or twice. That's one that has seen action. So both teams getting action on over total number of players with a rush attempt. We've seen Mahomes' yardage get pounded. Oh, open 268 and a half is what I saw at the open. I mean, some of the betters, when it gets to 300, we'll think about betting the other way. That one's gone up 10 yards for sure. So there's a handful that stand out to me. Shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards. That's another one that's gotten hurt some play already. That's been cashing in recent Super Bowls. And again, the shortest touchdown under, all it means is, you know, you need someone to get a tackle. You know, under 1.5 yards, that means they have to score from the one. Yes. Well, it means you get stopped near the goal line one time, and then you score in the next play or the play after that. It means you get a pass interference in the end zone. A shortest TD under at minus 140 is one that has taken some early betting action. So there's some thoughts at the top, Drew. I keep, have comments, questions, and then we can move on to more.
Absolutely, guys. Feel free to chime in here in the live chat, the chat box here on Wager Talk YouTube channel. Also, feel free to reply below. We'll answer any questions on last week's show. Teddy, you hit on a lot of props there. Also, on the kickoff prop, something that I think is a part of that is Pat McAfee's show. You know, he was a kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, and he actually kicked off in the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you've heard what he's talked about, but normally, and out there, guys, whether it be high school, college football, NFL, there's a different ball that they kick with rather than when a quarterback and the running back, when they're playing on offense. It's actually, they keep a kind of special ball for the kickers. But he said in the Super Bowl, because it's that really nice ball that they're out there for the coin toss, that after that, they just kind of go over and they give it to the kicker. And that ball is so inflated, Teddy, that for whatever reason, like when he kicked it, he thought he broke his foot. And I think that actually, because his show's so successful, might have had something to do with, you know, people really betting that not to be a touchback as well. Just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
Last year, McAfee came on and made his talk about how the opening bet, you should bet the opening kickoff to be a touchdown, to be a touchback, is what he said last year on his show. And that got a ton of play. You know, the whole mainstream media picked up on that. And, of course, the opening kickoff was not a touchback last year. So everyone that bet that prop lost. Everyone that followed McAfee's advice lost.
Womp, womp, womp. Teddy, I have a question for you. A lot of people like to bet this one. And quarterbacks over 2.5 passing players to have a passing attempt. So that would mean somebody other than Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes to have a passing attempt. Do you have any interest in that one? And I wanted to bring it up not only because both Jalen Hurts, you know, a little bit of shoulder questions there, and Patrick Mahomes with the ankle. If one of their backups get in, obviously you're looking pretty towards the over, but also, you know, the extra preparation time, maybe a trick play or something, somebody else throwing the football. Do you have any interest in that?
Over QBs with a pass attempt? No.
No. Maybe under?
it's not anything I'm excited about betting. You know, it's not. Okay. There are many, many props out there. But just so you know, all right, in terms of pass attempts in the regular season this year thrown, let's say, by not Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City, Chad Henne threw 2 in the regular season, and the punter, Tommy Townsend, threw 1. Now, if you're going to tell me that Andy Reid wants anyone other than Mahomes throwing a pass in this game for any reason, you're going to run, they're not running a fake punt. You know, Henny's not getting in the game to throw a pass. And there's no receivers for, you know, sometimes you have the former QB who's a receiver in the NFL and he gets some chances. That's not who Casey has on their team. You look at Philadelphia for the regular season, every pass attempt Hurts or Minshew. For the entire regular season, no pass attempts from any of the running backs or receivers or anything. So you think Minshew's going to get in the game? Maybe play over 2.5. I could only play under 2.5 in that one. This is not one of these scenarios where I'm expecting either coach to say, yeah, let's run the Philly special this time around. I don't expect it. And that's why this is a plus price prop. Remember, The pros very, very comfortable betting where you're laying the juice as opposed to getting the plus price. The public, the general public, wants to bet a little to win a lot. And the pros will bet the no on all this stuff. Minus $2, minus $250. It's positive expectation. Year in, year out.
And Teddy, yeah, bet the no on all this stuff. Is there also a little kind of pro bias to betting unders as well in a lot of these kind of passing props, receiving props, rushing props? Or no, that's not the same in your opinion?
They were all betting Mahomes over. They were all betting Sanders over. So it's not like there's a bias. They're only betting and playing unders.
Okay.
But when you're talking about, again, this is the Monday before Super Bowl. The first line, but Westgate used to be the leader when it came to prop. They lost the prop lead this year. You know, FanDuel and DraftKings put up props on Monday and loaded on Monday. And the Westgate, much of the early action on Westgate was just arbitrage between the numbers that were set back east and the numbers that came out here in Vegas. That was a lot of the action on Thursday night. Not necessarily opinions on what the line should be, but just taking a plus price here and taking a plus price there. Or, you know, any type of these arbitrage moves that you can make. So that being said, from Westgate not losing the prop market, right now, the only book here in Vegas that the pros are betting the Super Bowl at is South Point. South Point's doing 105 juice. So you're seeing, you can bet KC plus two minus 105. The money line, minus 122, minus 112 at the South Point, which is the best of the number both ways. All right. So when you talk about these nickel limits, and this is something to really be aware of. All right. You're going to see all these tweets, the sharp money's on this, the sharp money's on that. The sharp money in Vegas, side or total, there's only one book they're playing at right now. It's South Point. So anyone else that says, oh, the sharp bet came in here, that ain't a sharp bet for what it's worth. It might be big bets, but bets do not correlate with sharp bets, especially this week. Lots of rich people who don't know how to bet love betting the Super Bowl.
Teddy, what about, should we get into some of these novelty props, or you want to hit the sheet a little bit more?
Let me talk. I just lost my note.
Well, okay, but okay. Let me bring up something on your sheet here because I think this is important. Okay. I'm seeing something that I think a lot of our listeners will get an advantage doing. The coin toss can be a great way to meet rollover requirements. Think about it, guys. You can bet at a lot of sports books, heads minus 101, tails minus 101 on each side. And if you need to hit your rollover requirements, you know, a lot of these sports books, you know, deposit 500, you know, get a free 500. But you got to roll it over a bunch of times, you know, sometimes, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. That can be a way to do it and open up, you know, two accounts and then bet both heads and tails. Teddy, I think that was a great one, man, on your little sheet here.
Yeah, look, I'm giving you advice from the best bettors that I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not, and I appreciate all of their help in putting this report together. Very, very much. But it's absolutely true. When you have the, you know, when you want to meet your bonuses and you got to, you know, when you get your bonuses, you'll be able to withdraw after you've won money. You know, when you talk about, you know, DraftKings is minus 100, you know, heads minus 112, that tails minus 100. You have one side, you get your friend or your wife to get the other side. Doesn't matter. You can both meet your rollover requirements. That's one way to take advantage. And you're good to go. You know, it doesn't matter if it comes heads or tails. Now, I did want to make one more point. We talked about it. You know, you said, where's the money? Like, why were the overs getting pounded last week? Because the pros are targeting the public guys to bet over early, and they'll come back the other side of the middle. I talked about Mahomes got bet over early. Kelsey got bet over early. Sanders got bet over early. And you know, certainly not the only one. Dallas Goedert got bet over early. Those are probably the four guys that really got pounded. That's not an opinion from the wise guys. That's the wise guys saying, let's pound these overs early, and we're going to come back the other way because we know the public's going to pound them as well, and then we'll have middles working for us. So note the difference between an opinion move or a let's get ahead of the number move. and the move for all of these guys. Again, the four that I listed in particular, Kelce, Mahomes, Sanders, Goddard, all pounded over early. We can expect in the last few hours for kickoff, lots of wise guy money coming on all four of those guys under, and they're working the middle.
Like it, Teddy. Got a novelty prop I want to throw out there, Teddy, get your opinion. Position of the player to pour liquid on winning coach. Defensive plus 150. One reason I like it, guys, because a lot of times when they with a team that's winning, the offense is out there taking a knee. Therefore, there's more defensive players on the sideline and at a plus 150 price tag. Not one that you're going to find attributed to a box score, but defensive player to pour the liquid on the head coach plus 150 is one that I like, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything that it makes sense. It's not anything that is strongly handicappable, in my opinion. So I won't talk you out of it, but it's not the one that I'm looking at. One thing we want to talk about, a little bit, is some of these scenarios where the one guy, let me bring up Jalen Hurts first, because we talked about all these guys that are coming over. Jalen Hurts has not been bet over. All right. Boston Scott's been bet down in terms of rushing yards. Jalen Hurts, in terms of passing yards, he's been bet down as well. The thought, Hurts not 100%. And Philly, I talked about the Philly over rushing yards. There's a lot of thought Philly's just going to, the thought process that the Eagles game plan is going to try to run the ball down Kansas City's throat, keep Mahomes off the field, keep the Chiefs offense getting in rhythm. And that would mean less for Jalen Hurts in terms of passing yards. So we've seen under as the initial move for Jalen Hurts, as opposed to all these guys that are over that they were getting pounded. The other point I wanted to make was that the fun props, all right, length of the national anthem, Gatorade color, first song, who's playing halftime this year? I don't even know who's playing halftime, whatever the first song is going to be. All right. These are props you don't find necessarily in the legalized, regulated market. They're very popular in the offshore world. And those are the type of things where just follow the money. The length of the national anthem, the color of the Gatorade, the first song, that info leaks out throughout the course of the week, I guess. And as soon as the sharp books start moving, that's the answer, so whether the anthem goes over, 125 seconds or not. So you can follow the money on the fun props. If you're paying attention and bet it early, may not get the very best of the number, but you get close to the best of the number and maybe on the right side of some of those.
Like it, Teddy. Yeah, follow the money. And it's Chris Stapleton, the national anthem here. I'm seeing 125 seconds. Little juice towards the over, minus 140 on the over of 125 seconds. Also, they have things like, the U.S. national anthem, any word omitted, things like that. Like, that's always no. Like, they're not going to forget a word there. But you're having to lay, like, minus 3,000. And, Teddy, there's a question in here in the chat box. I think a pretty good one from MC Delinquent. Thanks for joining us live. How about this juice, guys? Took the no on a quarterback to have a reception minus 1,200. I don't think a quarterback will have a reception, but much like we're talking about a word omitted in the national anthem. I mean, how do you feel about laying that much juice, Teddy? I mean, even though it's likely not going to happen, minus 1,200 is a lot.
It's the only way to bet it. It's the I look. I'm not betting the yes. If either guy has a reception all year, it hurts. I'm sure that Mahomes didn't have a reception. And I'm like, of all the things KC's going to do, they're not going to leave Mahomes on the field to get tackled by someone downfield. Hurts may be a different story. Philly with the history of the Philly special and all that kind of stuff. But again, the no props, these, it's not going to happen at minus 1,200. The yes at plus 800. The Joes are going to bet the plus 800 all day. And the pros are going to bet the minus 1,200 all day. And unless it's one of the, I mean, again, you do see a bizarre Super Bowl every now and again that has the safety and the overtime and the extra point and this, you know, but the majority of the time, at the end of the day, the Joe's looking at the big plus prices and the pros laying all that juice. The pros have a better Super Bowl Sunday than the Joe.
Teddy, we got people helping us out in the chat box. Rihanna is the halftime show, but I don't know, guys. Maybe a little bit later in the week, we could get something on Twitter in terms of novelty props. We're going to keep it more towards the on the field here, Teddy. Any other props you wanted to throw out before we kind of answer questions?
Yeah, so there's just a couple more that I want to bring up right here that we haven't talked about yet. So Super Bowl starts slow. We talked about that on Wager Talk today. You talked about that as one of the reasons why you like the particular prop in the first quarter of what the score is going to look like. The books dealt the first quarter really low. There were a lot of 9.5s over minus 120 as opposed to 10 over minus 125, which is a normal first quarter for a 50.5 game. So there was bias for the books on the first quarter under initially. So if that bet isn't good, what are the pros betting? They're betting no score first 6 minutes. Now many places are going to 6.5 minutes. That was a bet up to minus 135 for the no score first 6 minutes of the game. Even in a high scoring affair, the Super Bowls tend to be lower scoring right from the get-go. Pros betting no score first 6 minutes in that ball game. The other thing that we're seeing is the pros betting the second half to be higher scoring than the first half. South Point opened that at second half minus 140. And there's probably, I think, 16-6 the last 22 Super Bowls. I got a bet all the way up second half to minus 165. And that makes sense. Second half to be higher scoring in the first quarter, especially when you expect the no scoring in the first 6/6.5 minutes of that ballgame. We're not expecting that in the second half. There's been 56 previous Super Bowls. One's gone into overtime. Pros betting the no on OT at minus 1,000 or less. Even in a game that's lined at minus, you know, less than a field goal, we're seeing no for the OT in this one. And one more guy that's been targeted by the props. It's Dallas Goedert for Philadelphia, the tight end. He's been bet up on catches, up on yardage. The catches 4.5 to 5, and the yardage has been bet up as well. So he, too, has been a popular early guy to target from the sharp money. I talked about how the all the money came in on Mahomes, all the money came in on Sanders, but I do expect some buyback on that. Goddard may be the guy that doesn't get the buyback. That's a sharp money coming on his catches and his yardage over the total.
Teddy, we have some questions here from last week's show on YouTube, and anybody feel free to fire out any questions here in the chat box. We'll answer them before we shut this down. And if you're watching on replay, that's cool too. Feel free to drop a line in the reply section below. Please smash that like button, guys, if you're liking the content. Huge shout out to the over 5,000 people that joined us for last week's show and the over 40 people that commented below. You are the true VIPs here helping us out with the YouTube algorithm. We got Enrique Felix asking, what influence do futures tickets have on the line? I'm sure there are many on KC. Wonder if the books need more money on the other side. Influence on future tickets that have on the line here, Teddy?
Almost none. Almost none. So 30 of the 32 teams have been eliminated from the future book. And the books already get to keep that money. They don't have a losing proposition if Kansas City wins in the future book. If Kansas City wins in the future book, they don't have a losing proposition if Philadelphia wins in the future book. Both teams were amongst the favorites from the get-go. Philly took a lot of money over the summer, and they've got more long shot liability on the Eagles. But the books have already turned a profit for their future book for the NFL, regardless of who wins. And when it comes to a game like this, that type of bias, you might look, if the markets are at 1.5 and one book is really heavy one way, they might hang at 2. You could see a half point at some books for some period of time, but you're not going to see any significant adjustment to the global market based on each book's individual liability on their future market. So I would say I'll call the impact minimal.
We got Brent Hall with a stat here, Teddy. This one's wild. This is eye-opening to me. He says, great show, guys. The crazy stat is the winner of the Super Bowl will have more wins at State Farm Stadium than the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, the Super Bowl is being played where the Arizona Cardinals' home stadium is. The Cardinals won one game at home this season. The Eagles and the Chiefs both won their matchup at Arizona. So the winner of this Super Bowl is going to have more wins than the Arizona Cardinals at their home stadium, Teddy. That's a wild one.
That's funny. Arizona had virtually no home field edge this year. That was something that stood out to me pretty early in the season. I wish I'd take advantage of it more.
And it kind of correlates with what we were talking about last week. A lot of guys commenting on it's the NFL rigged, of course, with that Bengals and Chiefs kind of. Hey, the calls were going the Chiefs' way. The ball was bouncing their way. We also got Yick at the end saying State Farm Stadium, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid bowl sounds rigged to me. Keep in mind, they do that commercial for State Farm. I don't know if there's anything there. Yeah.
I'm mentally drawing a mustache on you right now, Drew.
No, just funny stuff, man. We got some questions here in the chat box. Is it better to bet live, in your opinion, for the Super Bowl? That one from Sarah.
Is it better to bet live? Depends on how you choose to approach the game. The advantage of betting live is you get to take advantage of point spreads that aren't there, all right, and opportunities that aren't there pre-kickoff. So there's absolutely rationale for why betting live makes a whole lot of sense. The disadvantage, you have to lay more juice. So if you have a strong opinion pre-kickoff, I wouldn't argue with betting it pre-kickoff because the cost to bet in-game is higher than the cost to bet before kickoff. But betting it live, I mean, as long as you're sober and paying attention, betting it live is great. Don't be betting it live if you're drinking on Sunday. Don't even think about it.
Words of wisdom, Teddy Covers. Good stuff there. We do have, I guess, just a couple. Or what about this money line being the best way to get down on, what is it, the favorite, Teddy? Because most bettors in the last, 72 hours, like you're talking about, won't bet it that way. The money line in the Super Bowl, is that a sharp bet?
So in general, yes. The problem this year is that we're not seeing the distortion in the money line market. I mean, it's not a problem, but when there's a bigger favorite, all right, when you're seeing a field goal or even 2.5 or 3-point favorite, then you're getting a real plus price on the money line, you know, plus 130, plus 140 for the dog. A surprising number of bettors will just bet the dog to win straight up. In this, we're getting even money or plus 105 back. You know, I talked about the plus 110s that the wise guys are getting, or the plus 112s the wise guys are getting, the pros. The Joes aren't getting that. They're getting plus 105 or even money. And that doesn't provide the same distortion. A lot of the action in this game is coming on the money line as opposed to the point spread. You know, when it's less than two, that's not unusual. But we're not seeing a bias this year because the point spread is so low and the money line is so low that distorts the market.
Makes sense, Teddy. We got Nicholas saying, at my book, I'm getting the coin toss at minus 114 both ways. Nicholas, you got to get a new book, man, or don't bet that. Minus 114. Yeah.
He said, no, notice thing, at my book, singular. That's it's the wrong way to approach it. It is. You cannot win. I can't say you cannot. It is much more difficult to win betting at a single book, betting at two books. The more books you have, the more variance you have, the more games you win by a half point, the fewer games you lose by a half point, the more times you get a plus 130 instead of a plus 125 or a plus 150 instead of a plus 145. And those little edges add up over time. When you say my book, take half your money out of that book today and open another account. That's my only suggestion. You cannot win. Very, very difficult to win. Playing at one book, even playing at two books, you need a variety. That's one of the edges we have over the bookies. We can make our bet here. We can make our bet there. We can make our bet wherever we want to bet. That's an edge, a legitimate edge for bettors. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. And on top of that, Yeah, no, it's good, great advice there, Teddy. And on top of that, if the one book you have is charging -114 on the coin toss, that is just fuel on the fire, man. That is highway robbery. Don't do that. Any book that's putting out more than -105, really, it should be -101. Some are even doing just plus money, +100, which is kind of crazy, Teddy. But hey, go for one of those. Check out Teddy. Yeah, it's wild, man. WagerTalkSportsMemo.com. Teddy covers. He's hot right now. 12-3, 80% college hoops run. He's also hot in all sports the last 2 weeks, 63%. That's 22-13. And of course, the long-term NFL track record since 2015, plus units. So guys, check him out. He's got his Super Bowl prop package, I'm guessing, coming up. Yes, Teddy, 5% or up. So check that out. 53-30 run, guys. WagerTalkSportsMemo.com. Get all the prop picks as well from Teddy Covers. Obviously knows his NFL. Teddy, anything else you want to shout out here before we shut this down?
Yeah, so my prop package will be up. I'm not sure if I'm going to have it up tomorrow or Wednesday, but it'll be up by midweek. You can take advantage of. And frankly, a lot of stuff we talked about today, you'll get in the prop package. So, and it's something I enjoy. It's something I don't do every week. I'm not a prop player every week. It's Super Bowl only, basically, for me when it comes to props. So it's something I take seriously and something we've done fairly well with over the years. And as you mentioned, I do have a pretty strong opinion on this side in this ballgame. Get it all now over at WagerTalk and or SportsMemo.com. I do have $9 Monday play available in the NBA as well. You talked about the hoops track record. Number one at WagerTalk and SportsMemo. Net basketball profits over the last calendar year, full year, has been real good. The NBA in particular has been good long term, and the college hoops is hot right now. So you can get on board with anything over at WagerTalk and SportsMemo.com.
Teddy Covers, Super Bowl coming up, college basketball, NBA, number one at Wager Talk over the last year. Teddy, any XFL for you? Are you going to jump into that when that starts or no?
I didn't do it last year. The Arena Football League is supposed to be back this year. We'll see. I mean, I used to have such – my contacts in the Arena Football League were really good. I don't know that I have them anymore. I'm not convinced we'll be doing the XFL this summer. Are you doing it? Make money with it last year?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do it again, man. Yeah. Jumping out. Early market. Little niche sport action. Get ahead of the moves there, guys. So, yeah, I'm gonna dabble, Teddy.
Sure. Conceptually, I love it, dude. When does that start?
Next weekend. The weekend after the weekend Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. They're not waiting around there for the XFL. But, yeah, guys, check it out. Teddy Covers. WagerTalkSportsMemo.com, and we will be back next Monday for the recap and a look ahead towards the futures action in the NFL. For Teddy Covers, I'm Drew Martin. Guys, please comment below. Let us know you're watching. Pound that like button, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Cash those tickets.
Did you know the team to score last has won the Super Bowl each of the last 13 years? If you're looking to enhance your big game betting experience, visit wt.buzz/sb57props for Wager Talk's annual party prop sheet, Ralph Michaels' historical prop betting result and betting tips from your favorite handicapper. And if you're looking to add some wagering entertainment for your gathering, download and print out Super Bowl party prop sheet, which features a number of easy to answer, easy to follow questions to keep everyone engaged from the coin toss to the final whistle. Follow Wager Talk on Twitter during the game as we tweet out the results as they happen. Visit wt.buzz/sb57props for all the details.